Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
On everybody, if all of our leaders can go ahead and fill in the space by some of our teenagers, we want everybody sitting together. Man, it's so good to be with you guys. If those of you who do not know me yet, my name is Zach Del Turco. Man, we're so glad that you are here at Sozo. And I just want to explain Sozo real quick for those of you guys who maybe it's your first time or you haven't heard what the word Sozo means. It's actually used 143 times in the New Testament. And this word in the original English, it means saved. And it's translated in the original Greek, Sozo. See, Jesus came so that we might have life and life abundantly. Jesus came so that we could be saved, that we could be rescued from danger, that we can have life the way he designed us to have life. Can I get an amen? So if you're part of this ministry, you got to know one thing, that God has came, he came to give you life and life abundantly. He came to give you the Sozo life. Can I get an amen? I'm feeling it tonight. I feel like God's up to something. I was telling my wife last night as we were doing some devotions, I'm like, man, the Spirit of God is already here. And it was last night. Like, the Spirit of God is here and he wants to do something in your hearts. And my question before we get into my message is, what's your expectation? What is your expectation tonight? Did you just come to have fun? If that's your expectation, chances are you will come and have fun. But I know this, fun doesn't change people. The Word of God changes people. The Holy Spirit changes people. And I did not come to just have fun. Yes, that's part of what we do, but man, I've come, even as the speaker of tonight, to have my life forever changed through His Word. So let's go ahead and pray, because I feel the Holy Ghost up in this place. I feel like I'm about to preach some people down tonight. I feel like there's some of you all that need that right now. So, Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives. Lord, we were once lost, but now we are found. We were once broken, but now we are restored. We were once deaf, but now we can hear. God, I thank you for your power and your presence here tonight, that you are going to transform lives, that we're going to walk out of this place different than when we walked in. God, I thank you that your supernatural power works in and through us, God, that we would have this expectation for supernatural things and for your revelation to pierce our heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. It's so hard to believe. I know this is sad, but summer is over. Like, it stinks, y'all. Like, summer is over. Some of you guys already went back to school today. Man, that has to be tough. But some of you guys are going back next week. Have fun. Stay up all night. Play video games. Go get some Ben and Jerry's. Let Ben and Jerry be your best friend for the next week. Amen. I love me some Ben and Jerry's, y'all. Ooh, the Tonight Show. Come on.
Chubby Hubby.
Ooh. I love me some Ben and Jerry's. But tonight, I want to talk to you guys from this thought, the power of. And we're in week 3 of The Power Of, and this series is designed to help you and I understand that we have been created by God to live in the context of community. And we've been looking at these thoughts that you cannot get to the right place having the wrong friends. And you cannot get to the wrong place having the right friends. If we would just evaluate right now, for those of you guys who haven't been here the last couple weeks, we've been talking about who is at your table. So when you're going back to school, who is sitting at your lunch table? For some of you guys, you're saying, you know what, I'm sitting around people who party all the time. Chances are that will become your lifestyle. But if you're sitting around a table where people go to church, where God is a priority in their life, where people want to seek Him and live out their God-given purpose, chances are that will be your lifestyle. Because you cannot get to the right place. You cannot fulfill the purpose that God has on your life with the wrong friends. See, friends will dictate the future of our lives. And tonight I want to talk to you guys about this thought, the power of salt and light. Salt and light. I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, we're about to learn about some salt and light. You're about to be enlightened about salt and light. See, when I look at the Word of God, when I look at the life and ministry of Jesus, I always looked at the last thing that he said. But what I find interesting is I went back to look at the first thing that he said. And what he said last and what he said first, the mission was the same. I don't know if you've ever been around a baby. I am an uncle. You can call me Uncle Zachy. I have a beautiful little baby cousin named Leo. And nephew, thank you. I was never good with those kind of things, you know. So this baby is adorable, and I wish I had a picture to show you. You can go on my Instagram. I think I have some pictures up of him. But recently, Leo began to mumble. He began to try to talk. And I thought the first words that would come out of his mouth would be Uncle Zachy. But the first words that came out of Leo's mouth was not Uncle Zachy, and I am still bitter and upset, and when he can finally talk, I will have a conversation with him. But Leo, the first thing he said was, Dada, Dada. And I'm like, oh, that melts my heart. I can't wait till I have kids in the next 5 years, 5 to 7. It's my 5 to 7 year goal. But he began to say, Dada, and you want to know something? My brother-in-law will never forget that. He will always remember. He will always tell my sister, guess what the first words Leo said? Dada, Dada. And I find it interesting, the first words or the first message that Jesus spoke and the last thing that Jesus spoke was the same thing, just a little bit different. And if you look at somebody's last words that they've ever spoken, and I have the privilege and honor, and it's a humbling thing to be at somebody's bedside when they're dying. And I remember just sitting at this lady's bedside, and the crazy thing was, this lady wasn't talking about her house. This lady wasn't talking about the car. This lady wasn't talking about her job. This lady wasn't talking about all the wealth that she has accumulated. But what she was saying was everything geared towards her family. I love you guys. Oh, man, I love you guys so much. I wish we would have had more memories. I wish we would have cherished each other's time a little bit more. And I remember sitting at my great-grandma's bedside. She was 101, I think. And she didn't talk about anything but family. She didn't talk about anything but her kids. And I remember I was flying home from Atlanta, Georgia. And some of you guys know the story, but I was flying home from Atlanta, Georgia. And my plane got hit by lightning. My flight got hit by lightning. The lights went out. The plane dropped. I thought I was dead. I was crying inside. But the first thing I did as I thought I was dying and going down in this plane was I took out my phone, which had no Wi-Fi, which had no service. And no, I did not text my mom. I'm sorry, Mom. You're in this place right now. I love you. And no, I did not text my dad. The person that I thought of right away was my wife. It was a life, it really was a death experience. I thought I was going to die. But I texted my wife, and the last thing I thought I was going to say to my wife was, I love you. I really thought I was going to die. The lights went out. The plane dropped. I'm like, the flight attendants were running and panicking. And afterwards, I asked them, I was like, hey, has this ever happened before? They're like, no, in 40 years of me doing this, I thought we were going to die. But I remember I was texting my wife, and I said, I love you. Because that's the last thing I wanted her to know. And I think about these last words. And when I think about our Savior of the world, when I think about Jesus and what he came to do, the Bible said he came to die. Like, how would you like that to be your purpose? Like, you came to die. What's your purpose? came to die. But the Bible says he came to die. He came to rescue my soul and your soul so that we would not have eternal separation from God the Father. So here's what I know when it comes to the last words of Jesus and the first words of Jesus. They're stinking important. They're really heavy. There's a lot of purpose driven in those statements. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This was the last thing that Jesus said as he was ascending into heaven. He said this, "You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus came to die. But there's more to it. He not only came to die, but he came to give you his Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people and a lot of disciples at the time, they're like, "Wait, we followed you for over 3.5 years and you're just going to peace out on us? You're just going to die and hang on a cross?" And he's like, no, you don't understand. I came to save you. I came to save your soul so that you can have a relationship with God. But not only that, I came to give you my Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that drove me into the wilderness, the same Spirit that caused me to heal all these people, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you. And when you have an understanding that the Holy Spirit lives in you, you'll live your life totally different and totally changed. See, he didn't leave us orphans. He says, "I'm giving you my Spirit." And here's what I love about Acts 1:8. There's two words that really get me to start thinking about this premise of the gospel, the too good to be true news. And it says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "You shall receive power." Everybody say power. Everybody say power. This word power in the original Greek, it means dynamite. It means dunamis. God has given you this dynamite power to be a witness. And the second word, witness, this is going to freak some of y'all out. Some of you guys are going to debate if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ after I tell you what this word witness means. See, this word witness, in the original Greek, it means martyr. Do you know the first century church? You know what happened? You want to know the timeline of majority of their lives? They gave their hearts to the Lord and they were instantly killed. They were beheaded. And what Jesus is saying is, "Hey, listen, when you give your heart to me, it's no longer you who lives, it's I who lives in you." That it's time that you die to your flesh. It's time that you die to the lust. It's time that you die to the temptations. It's time that you die to your ego. It's time that you die to your self-worth and start to live according to my gospel and who I say you are. But here's the thing. Would we say today that we would be willing to die for the gospel? Would we say today that we are willing to hang on a cross? We are willing to be beheaded. We are willing to do whatever it takes to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the first century church, they were willing to do whatever it takes to get the gospel advanced. In our nation, we're not beheaded for our beliefs. We're not beheaded for our faith. But you know, all across the world, even right now, people are dying for their faith. And here's what I find interesting. We might not be dying physically for our faith, but I think there's something to be said about persecution in America. See, persecution in America looks a little bit different. It's called subtle persecution. What does subtle persecution look like? Your friends turning their back on you just because you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Your friends talking about you because you shared your story about how God has changed your life. People calling you names, people making fun of you at the lunch table, your own family members disowning you because you have a relationship with a living king and he actually is the ruler and captain of your life, not just somebody you go to when you need a lifeline. I remember having subtle persecution in my life in 10th grade. I thought I had family. I thought my guys were ride-to-die kind of guys. And I made the varsity basketball team at 10th grade. I know that's a big deal. Single A, about 10 kids that tried out. I was the 10th one to get picked. But there was only 10 of us that tried out, so I made the varsity squad, y'all. Nah, I was okay. But I remember I was in the locker room, and it was before films. And the group of us guys were just hanging out, and people started to talk about sex. And they were talking about, hey, this is who I'm hooking up with right now. This is who I want to hook up with. And my sister was, I believe, a senior. She graduated. And I remember some of the guys who were 2 years older than me, they started to say things about my sister. Like, hey, man, I'm going to get together with your sister. That's my goal. Virgin Mary, I'm getting together with her. Right in front of my face. And then they asked me this question, are you a virgin too? And if I can be real with you guys tonight, I battled with this thought. So they're making fun of my sister right now. What if I tell them I am going to stay a virgin until I get married? What if I do tell them that I am going to save myself till marriage? What are they going to do? And I had this tension in my mind, this split decision. Am I going to tell them, you know what? These are my values. These are my beliefs. This is my rock. This is what I go to. I don't care what you guys think about me. Or do I say, you know what? No, man. I'm in the same boat with y'all. And I made a decision that looked a lot like this. Write this down. Everybody write this down. Live by this school year. I would rather be remembered for standing out than be forgotten for blending in. I would rather be remembered for standing out than be forgotten for blending in. Some of y'all ain't writing this down. I put way too much time into this message for y'all just to stare at me. Listen, if you get this, if you allow this word to penetrate your heart, I promise you it will save you from pain. It will save you from struggles. It will save you from the sin of this world. I would rather be remembered for blending, for standing out, than be forgotten for blending in. In that moment, I had to make that decision. I'm going to stand out no matter the cost. I'm going to stand out and say, you know what? My King is Jesus. My Savior is Jesus. I am not going to bow to the name of society. I'm not going to bow to the name of culture. I am not giving in to the temptations of this world. I would rather be remembered for standing out than be forgotten for blending in. And you wouldn't believe my senior year what happened to me. I'm playing football, and we're playing our rivals, Rochester. And those kids knew me. I grew up with them. And I remember it was the first play of the game. Their linebackers started to chant, church, boy, church, boy, church, boy, church, boy, church, boy. They were trying to get to me. They were trying to get underneath my skin. They were making fun of me because they knew I was a follower of Jesus Christ. And you want to know what I did? The next play, when that kid who was chanting church boy and trying to embarrass me and persecute me in front of everybody, when he was running the football, you better believe I did everything in my supernatural power to chase him down. The reckless love. I gave him the reckless love of God, y'all. I chased that man down. I body slammed him, I took his face mask, and I shoved it into the dirt, because that's what true followers of Jesus do. I Bobby Boucher'd him, y'all. I'm a mama's boy. Nobody make fun of my mama. Nobody. But I wish I would have risen up to the occasion and say, you know what, you can make fun of me all you want. I am who I am. This is what God has called me to be. See, the last thing that Jesus said is the first thing that we should always do. The last thing that Jesus said is the first thing that we should always do. I have given you power to be my witness. Therefore, go and preach the gospel and make disciples. Do you know disciples don't happen by accident? but we have to make them. That's why we have small groups. That's why we do what we do now. That's why we meet on Wednesday night, because I was realizing that I wasn't raising up disciples, that I was talking to you guys, but there was no dialogue, there was no life change that was really happening. That's why we decided to go to small groups, because, man, we see life change happening in the dialogue. When you guys hear a message, then you guys discuss the message, where you guys actually digest and say, you know what? What does it look like to stand out? What does it look like to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it look like to be pure before God? That's why we have small group leaders who are committing every single Wednesday night to investing in you guys. I was just talking with a buddy out there. He just started coming. And one of our small group leaders spoke something to him, and it resonated, and it actually changed his life, he said. That's why we do small groups. See, discipleship happens in circles, not rows. Discipleship happens in the community of a small group. And here at Sozo, we are not here to make converts, but we're here to make disciples. Because as your leader, I am not okay with you going into the world after you graduate and living the kind of life that society says you should live. I'm not okay with that. I'm going to do everything in my power to say, how can we make disciples? How can we train these guys up to live a godly life? And here next semester, what we're going to be doing, if you're in ninth grade, man, we have a spiritual development plan for you. If you're in 10th grade, we have things for you to do. If you're in 11th grade, we have things for you. And if you're in 12th grade, man, we want to set you guys up to win spiritually. We want to set you guys up to say, you know what? If I'm being persecuted, that's okay. Because that's who God has called me to be. So we looked at the last words of Jesus. Now I want to take a look at the first message he ever preached to the disciples. He said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He said, blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and celebrate. What? Rejoice and celebrate that I'm being persecuted. Rejoice and celebrate that people are insulting me. Rejoice and celebrate because people are speaking evil over my life. And I love what he says, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets before you. I'm going to say something right now that might rub some of you guys the wrong way. But I say this out of a sincerity in my heart. If you are not being persecuted for your faith, are you really standing out? That's deep. If for you are not being persecuted and arrows are not flying in your direction from the evil one, Satan, are you a true threat to the kingdom of evil? I'm going to say it one more time. If you are not being persecuted because of your faith, are you really living the kind of life that God created you to live? The prophets in the Old Testament were persecuted. Jesus, when he came, was persecuted. The first century church, when they came and started to spread the gospel, and this gospel, literally, the meaning of this means too good to be true. That we were once dead, but now we are alive. The disciples beheaded. John the Baptist beheaded. The disciples boiled in hot oil. We see a pattern of people who are living for Christ. If we are not being persecuted as the church, are we really furthering the kingdom of God? Are we really standing out? Are we really saying, you know what, I'm here to show that, man, God loves you? It's not a judgmental thing. It's saying, hey, it's the reckless love of God. It comes and chases you down. It's the goodness of God that runs after you. And here's what I love. It says, after being persecuted, I love this, what it says in Matthew chapter 5. It says this, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anyone except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus, he says this. He says, not only you are the salt of the earth, but you are also the light of the world, a city on top of a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see the good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is salt and what is light? See, in their time, Jesus was talking in these parables about being salt and light because it resonated with them. They didn't have electricity like we did, so they operated on a light schedule. So when the sun came up, they worked. When the sun came down, they quit working. And they didn't have refrigerators. So they had salt that preserved all of their food. And he's saying, listen, it's your job to be salt to this world. It's your job to be light. And I don't have time tonight to go to both my points, but I want to do something and I want to illustrate something. What happens when the church is silent? The lights go out. Turn them all off. Turn that thing off. Black, yeah. When the church is not doing what they're called to do, this is what it looks like. Try to find your way in darkness. Try to find your way where God's calling you to do if there's no light to shine bright. And I don't want one person right now, I'm going to pick you out if I can find you. Becky, turn on your light real quick, your flashlight. The power of one. Keep that light on. See what happens when one person decides to stand up? When one person decides to live for Jesus? When one person puts their foot in the ground and says, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve God. Even when my sons are out partying, even when my sons don't want to live for God, I choose to serve God and my sons will follow. So guess what happens when we have one person shining their light. This section, turn your lights on for me real quick. Nobody else. See what happens when this section decides to say, I'm living for Jesus. I choose to allow him to be the captain of my life. You can see me. Where darkness is, there can be no. Where light is, there can be no darkness. Get that? Where we are shining bright as followers of Jesus Christ, there can be no darkness. Darkness cannot prevail when there is light. So I need you guys to turn your lights on real quick. See what happens? See what happens? Here's the thing. One person decided to say, you know what? I'm going to win my school for Jesus. I'm going to start with one person and say, how can I reach this one person? And when this person says, you know what, I'm going to be on fire for Jesus, guess what happens when things are on fire? Me and my mom come watch them burn down. We always did that as kids. When there was a house fire, me and my mom always went and said, you know what? What's going on over here? People are attracted to the light. Go ahead. You guys turn your lights on. Look what happens when we went from one light to over 100 lights. Go ahead and turn your lights on. We're going to finish the service with everybody having their lights up. Because I want you guys to see the power of what happens when we unite as the body of Christ, as we unite as followers of Jesus Christ and say, you know what? As for me, I'm going to stand out. As for me, I'm going to let my light shine. As for me, I'm going to tell people about the love of God because at the end of the day, eternity is the only thing that matters. Amen. Popularity doesn't matter. I'm telling you, some of you guys are chasing popularity tonight. Some of you guys are chasing fame tonight. Some of you guys are chasing the likes on Instagram, the followers on Instagram, the people to retweet you. I don't know what you guys use. But all I'm saying is, listen, when you stand before our Heavenly Father, guess what? He's not going to ask you how many likes you had on your Instagram page. He's not going to ask you how many followers you had on Instagram. What he's going to ask you is, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you shine bright? Were you a salt in this world? Were you doing everything that I've called you to do? It's time that the church rises up. We are a sleeping giant. I'm not here to preach condemnation. I'm not here to say, guess what? We're not doing it. We are doing a good job. But I think when we begin to understand that we are the light of the world, a city on top of a hill that cannot be hidden, when we know the power of multiplication, when we understand the power of coming together and saying, we're going to do everything short of sin to reach people that nobody else is reaching. I need everybody to just lift up their lights right now. I'm going to pray for you guys. Father God, I thank you that we will be a generation that allows our light to shine bright. That we will be a generation that runs after you, God, that runs after the plans and purpose that you have for our lives, God. I thank you that we will be a generation that shines our light so bright, that we will be a generation that says, as for me and my friends, we will serve God. I thank you that we are a generation that is going to make your name famous in all generations. God, I thank you that we are the light of the world, a city on top of a hill that cannot be hidden. God, I thank you that you are raising up leaders in this ministry to go out and take the gospel to all humanity, to take it to their hometown, to take it to their schools, to take it to their workplace. God, we will not be ashamed of the gospel. In fact, we will die in order to live for you, God. If you're in this place tonight and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, man, I'm going to give you an opportunity. But I want this to be a bold declaration. I want this to be a bold act. And we don't do this often, but I really feel it strongly on my heart. If you cannot publicly declare Jesus as the Lord of your life in a church, how can you do it in the world? So tonight, if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to stand up right now and come forward with me, and I want to pray for you. We're a family. We are a family. Nobody will look at you. Nobody will judge you. If you are in this place and you're saying, you know what, I hear the gospel. I hear this good news. I want to have a Savior that loves me, a Savior that died for me. If there's somebody in this place, I see that. Come on, come forward. Don't be shy. Let's give it up. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? He's knocking. Come on. Is there anybody else? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Come on. What I want us to do is I want us to extend our hands to these two girls. And then after, I'm going to get you girls connected with one of our small group leaders so they can help you take your next steps. So let's just go ahead and extend our hands out. Father God, I thank you for these wonderful women who love you, who are saying tonight that I don't care about popularity. I don't care about what people think about me, but I care about your name, the name that saves, the name that conquers, the name that will stand at the end of times. God, I thank you that they have made you the Lord of their life. They're publicly declaring that you are the Lord, that you are the captain of their life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get up for these girls. If you guys want to go ahead right in the back, we're going to connect with you guys. Thank you. And lastly, as we finish up and we go into our small groups, I need all the seniors who just graduated, not the seniors that are graduating this year, but the seniors that graduated last year. You guys are in college now. I want you guys to come up real quick. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's get it. Look, let's give it up for these guys.
Let's give it up for these guys. Yeah! You're here!
All right, guys, come here, come here, come here. Let's hold hands. And I want everybody to come around us real quick and let's lay hands on each other. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We're a family here. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our family as they take their next step. Transitions can be tough. Transitions can be hard. Father God, I thank you for these leaders in this place. These leaders that are taking their next step. God, I thank you that they have placed you at the center of their life. That, God, you are the firm foundation in all that they do. God, I thank you right now as they take their next steps, as they go off to college or as they go into ministry school, as they just maybe go into the workplace, God, that you would do what only you can do, that you would light up their path, that you would show them their next step, God, that you would be with them like your word says that you are. You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. God, I thank you that your word says that you are a lamp unto our feet. That God, you bless not our leaps, but you bless our steps. God, I thank you that there's no anxiety in their hearts, that they have to understand that I need to know everything. But God, all they need to know is that they need to take their next step. And after they take their next step, all they need to do is take their next step and keep you at the center of all that they do. God, I thank you that there's no fear in their hearts, but there's purpose and there's faith. And there's a destiny that they know that they are running towards, that they are stepping towards. God, I thank you that they will be a light in their colleges, that they will be a light in their workplace, that they will be a light in ministry school to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that they're leaders of this generation. And they're putting a stake in the ground and saying, we are going to live for God. No ifs, no buts, no nothing. We choose to live for Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says...